It's been 2.5 months since the US brokered ceasefire in Gaza came into effect, and now some cautious signs of progress in the humanitarian situation in the Palestinian territory. The United Nations Children's Fund says famine has been pushed back in Gaza, but the UN warns the situation remains critical. More than 100,000 people are still facing catastrophic hunger, and the Global Hunger Monitor, or IPC, says the gains are very fragile, warning famine could quickly return. Ricardo Pires is the communications manager for UNICEF. He's based in Geneva. I spoke to him earlier.
Thanks for having me.
Now, the IPC report says Gaza is no longer in famine. What does that actually mean for people on the ground right now?
So the latest IPC analysis indeed shows that some improvement has taken place since the October ceasefire, a very fragile ceasefire as we still see. And we're not seeing famine conditions right now like we did in August, which is obviously very welcoming news. But let me be very clear that the situation remains extremely fragile. There is no food production in Gaza, so an exhausted population, half of them children, really depend on whatever is brought in, be it humanitarian supplies or commercial goods. And we're not getting enough to fully reverse the deprivation and damage caused by 2 years of unrelenting war. We still have nearly 101,000 children who will need treatment for acute malnutrition over the next year, including more than 31,000 severe cases, which means children who could be at risk of dying because of severe acute malnutrition, which is a very painful way for a child to suffer and perish. So no child in Gaza right now meets minimum dietary diversity standards. And that's very concerning, regardless of the progress that has been made. And two-thirds are surviving on just two food groups or less. So what's really concerning is how quickly this could deteriorate.
Give me a sense, though, is a typical child getting one meal a day, two meals a day? What exactly do they have access to?
So the data shows us that they're not getting enough. So whether it's one meal a day or two, it's still unpredictable. And therefore, the impact can go many ways, including with lower immunity, and that child will slip not only into malnutrition, but it could, because of the winter conditions on the ground, have respiratory illnesses or die of hypothermia. So it's a combination, it's a combo of a multi-dimensional crisis, really, that, yes, malnutrition is part of, but it's not only that. So the children have been struggling to come back from 2 years of deprivation and despair, and that won't be reversed unless, you know, they are getting the amount of food that they need on a daily basis, and one or two meals is just not enough.
On Radio National Breakfast, I'm speaking with Ricardo Pires, the communications manager for UNICEF, the UN Children's Agency. Ricardo, what is the situation with access for aid trucks into Gaza? How many crossings are open? How many trucks are getting through?
So since the ceasefire was agreed in October, we have seen an improvement in the number of trucks getting into Gaza, and also the ability of the UN to pick up those supplies on the other side, inside Gaza, and do the logistics that we're so used to do as humanitarian actors on the ground. But the quantity is not enough. As the UN, we've managed to get over 5,000 trucks, which is a good number. If you think that an average of 500 trucks with commercial goods and humanitarian supplies should be getting in on average every day. But because of what has happened in the past 2 years, and again, that's not something we can play lightly. The level of destruction and deprivation is absolutely unprecedented for Gaza. So the 500, 600 trucks that we wanted to get in are still at an initial phase, we would need to definitely increase those numbers. And to do that, we need more humanitarian crossings. And we only have currently two being used, called Kerem Shalom, which is more or less in central north Gaza, and then Kisufim or Zikim more up in the north, where the needs have been historically much higher during this war. So again, the fact that famine has been halted is proof that when the weapons go silent and more aid can get in and humanitarian workers can operate safely, we can start reversing the situation. But again, we need it to happen much faster and in much larger scale.
Israel says enough aid is getting in. Is that not the case?
Look, I can only speak as UNICEF and the UN. And again, given the level of deprivation and despair that has been imposed in an exhausted population, half of them children, over 1 million children living in Gaza right now, it's not enough, because we're still seeing them suffer immensely due to lack of very basic supplies, health supplies, shelter, food, and even protection. Children have died since the ceasefire was declared on the 10th of October. We know that reportedly at least 82 children have died, and 3 children have died of hypothermia just in December. So if these things are happening, if we're seeing the numbers of malnutrition that we're seeing now and the projections for next year, if children are sleeping in flooded tents and losing whatever little they had because they've been displaced multiple times and yet shelter is lacking for them, we can't say that we're doing enough. We're not doing enough, and a lot more needs to be done. And these children need to get what they were promised once the ceasefire agreement was put in place.
And briefly, if you would, you mentioned the temperatures, the flooding. We've seen some very dramatic images of flooding in Gaza. What's the current situation in terms of the weather there?
Yeah, right now, children in Gaza are facing winter in the worst possible conditions, really stripped of their dignity. We're talking about families living in makeshift shelters, tents, damaged buildings, sometimes just plastic sheeting. And when the rain comes and these shelters flood, children are put at risk again with very low temperatures. The torrential storms have been particularly brutal this year, and winter is only starting. So children are sleeping in cold, wet conditions with inadequate protection. And when you combine this with children who are already weakened by malnutrition, it becomes really life-threatening. And this is what we're seeing now. More than 70% of the population in Gaza is displaced and living this way. So it's really brutal and heartbreaking to see.
Ricardo Pires, thank you.
Thank you.